Welcome to the Noracast Tech Briefing. I'm your host, and with me, as always, is my co-host. Today, we are tracking Meta's major shift into autonomous consumer agents with the launch of Muse. We will also cover a high-profile acquisition in the web development space that exposes how AI coding assistants are breaking traditional open-source business models. Plus, a viral site that perfectly captures the pain of asking an AI to execute one simple change. Meta just flipped the switch on Muse, so let's start there. Meta just rolled out Muse in the US. This is their consumer-facing personal AI agent for users 18 and older.
We talked about the Muse Spark 1.3 model a few days ago, but this is the actual consumer application. They are positioning it as a tool that handles multi-step life admin tasks, booking travel, managing your calendar, buying things.
To do that, it needs a lot of access. Meta built a dedicated cloud virtual computer for it, which they call a secure VM. It has its own browser, so the agent can interact with the web on your behalf.
And they paired that with an oversight agent called Sentinel. Sentinel's whole job is to watch the primary Muse agent and make sure it doesn't go off the rails.
Which is a real concern when you give an AI your credit card. For payments, they integrated Stripe's Link service. Muse generates single-use virtual cards for transactions.
That protects your actual financial details. If the agent gets tricked by a prompt injection on a shady website, the attacker only gets a burned virtual card.
The pricing structure is where things get really interesting. There's a free tier that gives you roughly 100 million tokens a week.
But if you want more, the power tier is $20 a month, and the maximum tier is $100 a month.
A $100 monthly consumer subscription is steep. It shows you how much compute these autonomous background tasks actually require.
It's a significant escalation. We're moving from chatbots that answer questions to agents that take actions.
The open question is trust. Meta doesn't have the cleanest record on data privacy. Now they want access to your personal emails, your health data, and your payment rails.
Some people will trade that privacy for the convenience of never having to schedule a dentist appointment again. But putting all that context into a single Meta-controlled system is a big leap.
Sentinel and the secure VM show they know security is the main hurdle here. We'll see if it's enough to convince the average user to hand over the keys to their digital life. In the developer world, Tailwind Labs is joining Shopify. Adam Wathan posted the update on September 9th. The financial terms aren't public. Tailwind CSS will stay free and MIT licensed, but they are closing new commercial signups for Tailwind Plus.
We know exactly why this is happening. Earlier this year, Tailwind revealed they were facing an existential business crisis.
Their revenue dropped nearly 80%.
Because their business model relied on selling commercial templates and UI components to developers who visited their documentation.
But AI completely broke that funnel. Developers just ask Claude or ChatGPT to write the Tailwind markup for them. They don't need to read the docs, and they don't buy the premium components.
AI tools bypassed the exact surface area where Tailwind monetized its open source work.
Shopify stepping in makes sense. They use Tailwind extensively. By bringing the team in-house, they secure the long-term maintenance of a framework their own infrastructure depends on.
But it raises a huge question for the rest of the open source ecosystem. If traditional developer tool business models are collapsing because AI does the heavy lifting, who funds the underlying frameworks?
We might see more of these acquisitions. Large enterprise companies that rely on open source projects might have to bring those teams in-house just to keep the lights on.
It's a structural change. You build a widely used tool, it gets installed 110 million times a week, but you can't monetize it anymore because an LLM swallowed your documentation.
That friction with AI coding tools is actually the subject of a viral project that hit the top of Hacker News this week.
It's a web-based simulator at opus5.dev. The prompt you give the AI is simple. Change the Add to Cart button to blue.
And the simulator perfectly mimics the experience of trying to get a modern coding agent to do one trivial thing.
Instead of just updating the CSS, the AI in the simulator starts analyzing the entire component tree. It decides it needs to update the testing suite. It adds a bunch of null checks.
It loops through validations, and suddenly you are reviewing a complex refactor just to change a hex code.
People on the Claude subreddit were heavily relating to this. It turns a very specific modern developer frustration into a playable meme.
It highlights a real tension right now. These agents are powerful, but they can be highly pedantic. You stop writing code and you start managing a system that constantly overcomplicates your instructions.
You have to wonder if this is a permanent flaw in how large language models approach software architecture, or if developers just need to get better at scoping their prompts.
Right now, it feels like babysitting. You spend more time correcting the AI's complex solution than you would have spent just writing the CSS yourself. All right, let's hit a few more stories real quick.
Starting with a push for edge AI. Desert Ant Labs, a new European AI startup, just launched a suite of 18 specialized models designed to run entirely on device.
Their standout is an audio model called Voice. It can transcribe 10 minutes of audio on an iPhone in just 2 seconds. That is 4.7 times faster than Whisper.
The models are free for developers up to 100,000 monthly active devices. They want apps to use local edge compute for routine tasks instead of paying for cloud API tokens.
On the Claude Code GitHub repository, there is an open feature request for a programmatic way to upload custom skills to Claude.ai.
Currently, the only way to add a custom skill is through the browser. You have to navigate to settings and manually upload a zip file.
Developers are asking for a simple API endpoint or a CLI command to push updates directly, bypassing the web UI entirely. Another UI friction point in Claude Code is the click-to-select behavior on option lists.
Users are requesting a way to disable it. When you use the full-screen renderer in a terminal, clicking the window to focus it can accidentally select whatever option your mouse happens to be hovering over.
They want to retain text selection and scrolling, but force option selection to be keyboard only. And finally, a networking quirk in Claude Code's bridged sessions.
If you run the desktop app on multiple machines under the same account, you can bridge sessions between them. But right now, the paired device just shows a generic hostname and a random slug instead of the actual session title.
Users want the UI to sync the real title, so they don't have to guess which session they are picking up when they switch computers. That is all for today's briefing.
We'll be back tomorrow with more updates from the edge of tech.